Hello, Zimbabwe. Welcome to Live Talk Diaspora Forum, a platform where we discuss issues affecting Zimbabweans in the diaspora. We are coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. I'm your host, Jonga Kandemiri. Tonight, we are discussing the approval by the South African Cabinet of the White Paper on Citizenship, Immigration and Refugee Protection. However, some organizations representing immigrants living and working in that country, including the influential Helen Suzman Foundation, are rejecting the paper. Before we delve into the main topic of the day, let us look at what's happening elsewhere. Artificial intelligence surrounds U.S. political life, from fundraising to campaign advertising. Some lawmakers are looking to better police the use of generative content in this year's presidential election, as they say it threatens voter confidence in what is real. VOA correspondent Scott Stearns has our story.
So far, artificial intelligence in this presidential campaign has been most pronounced in the New Hampshire primary, where thousands of voters received a call from a voice sounding like Joe Biden, telling them not to vote.
Voting this Tuesday only enables the Republicans in their quest to elect Donald Trump again.
The fake voice was made by Louisiana magician Paul Carpenter for $150.
If anybody's looking for some kind of flag, not a false flag, but like a flag, a gameplay flag where something bad happened, and I'm the flag.
U.S. Senator Richard Blumenthal says there's no time to wait for another flag.
Disinformation and deepfakes are about to descend on the American public. The form of their arrival will be political ads and other forms of disinformation that are made possible by artificial intelligence. There is a clear and present danger to our democracy.
At a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing on AI in this election last week, Senator Josh Hawley said it's time to act.
The dangers of this technology without guardrails and without safety features are becoming painfully apparent. And I think the question now is that are we going to have to watch some catastrophe unfold?
It's already possible to detect calls like the one in New Hampshire, says artificial voice generation developer Zohaib Ahmed.
We believe that AI watermarking technology is a readily available solution that can already check the integrity of audio content.
With that technology in place, what's lacking is regulation, says deepfake detection entrepreneur Ben Coleman.
There's a really nice framework in both national and also state-level regulations in the space. When you upload something on, for example, YouTube, it's checking for a few things. It's checking for violence. It's checking for underage imagery. It's checking for, are you uploading the latest Drake song? That's because of regulations. So to scan for generative media would just be another check within that same flow.
The U.S. Federal Election Commission is considering rules that would prohibit using AI in ads to deliberately deceive voters. New Hampshire Secretary of State David Scanlon told the Senate committee that unchecked generative AI, like the fake Biden call, threatens voter confidence.
The most fundamental, important thing that I perceive in my role as Secretary of State is to make sure that an election is not messed up, that, you know, the voters believe and know that it was run fairly and accurately to the highest standards possible. And if we lose that, it will be very, very hard to get it back.
In New Hampshire, lawmakers are working to require that political advertising within 90 days of an election disclose if audio, still images, or video have, quote, been manipulated or generated by artificial intelligence technology and depicts speech or conduct that did not occur. Scott Stearns, VOA News.
Still on the United States elections, marijuana is a rare consensus issue in politically divided America, with polls showing that 88% of Americans support at least partially legalizing the drug. But cannabis advocates say neither of the leading presidential candidates are capitalizing on shifting attitudes. VOA correspondent Scott Stearns has more.
Nearly three-quarters of Americans live in states where marijuana is legal for medicinal purposes. Half the population live where it's also allowed recreationally. But cannabis remains entirely illegal under federal law, where it's classified alongside heroin and LSD as drugs with no currently accepted medical use and a high potential for abuse. The overwhelming majority of American voters who think that should be changed makes cannabis a ripe opportunity for presidential candidates Joe Biden and Donald Trump, especially among young voters, according to Scotty Smart, who's a community organizer with the civic engagement group, the New Georgia Project.
A lot of people don't understand policy. A lot of people don't know how policies affect their day-to-day lives. I think cannabis is an issue that ignites and excites young people to pay attention.
At the National Cannabis Festival and Washington Policy Summit earlier this month, founder Caroline Phillips said neither Biden nor Trump have delivered.
For both of them, one thing they have in common is that their track records on cannabis have been inconsistent and incremental. We've heard promises from both administrations, neither of which have panned out in full.
Under Biden, the Department of Health and Human Services recommended changing marijuana to a lighter drug classification, rescheduling it instead of making it legal, which would be descheduling.
The current White House's policy on marijuana remains slightly unclear. They have given us great signals that they're willing to shift towards descheduling, but most likely rescheduling. However, we haven't quite seen the action to back up their words.
In 2018, then President Trump said he would, quote, probably support efforts to end federal prohibitions on marijuana and leave its legality up to the states. That legislation never got out of Congress. Trump told a Newsmax TV interviewer last year that studies show marijuana, quote, does significant damage, and yet, from a voting standpoint, it's a pretty popular thing.
Trump's track record on cannabis has been inconsistent at best. We've heard him both say that people who sell drugs in the illicit market should be jailed and even put to death, I think, with some of the scarier rhetoric around that. But we've also seen him pardon people who've been locked up for cannabis.
U.S. voters' shifting attitudes about marijuana show in Gallup polling, where last year 70% of adults supported legalization. That's more than double the number who said they favored legalization in 2000. Morgan Fox is political director for the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws.
This is an issue that is increasingly important to voters, particularly young voters. And any candidate that actually wants to get ahead, whether it's in the presidential election, in Congress, or state legislatures or local legislators, if they ignore this issue, it's going to be at their peril.
Younger voters animated by legalizing marijuana are hoping for Biden administration action on cannabis before the November election. Scott Stearns, VOA News.
Back to Zimbabwe. Harare magistrate Dennis Mangosi has postponed again to the 29th and 30th of April 65 arrested illegal forex dealers granting a state application to have the investigating officer testify in court before making a ruling on bail applications by the accused. Tatenda Ishemukuru Ndlovu, who is representing 13 of the 65 initially arrested illegal forex dealers, says the state intends to call evidence of the investigating officers and they want to clarify some issues that are only known by investigating officers. Here is Ndlovu speaking on what obtained in court.
Okay, tapinda mudare, matters mazhinji atanga chita azonzi aru kufana kudzoka madates anoti 29. 26 and 30, because vari kuda kudaidza humbo neuchapu wa my investigating officers vanova vakava involved pakusungwa kwevanhu. Saka isusu tabvumira nazvo kuti regai vauye totanga tine maissues edu tichifunga kuti zvinhu zvanga zvichifanira kunge zvichiitwa nekukasika, asi tanga tisina zvakawanda zvatachigona kutaura. Tangomira kuti musi weFriday, Monday and Tuesday tinenge tichitaura nema investigating officers.
That was Tatenda Ishemukuru Ndlovu, who is representing 13 of the 65 initially arrested illegal forex dealers, speaking from Harare. Now back to our main topic. South Africa's cabinet last week approved the white paper on citizenship, immigration and refugee protection for implementation. This follows what the Department of Home Affairs calls a countrywide consultation process it undertook in all the country's 9 provinces. The government says the policy aims to provide a framework to guide citizenship, immigration and refugee protection, considering the country's national security interests and in compliance with international agreements and protocols on migration that the country is party to. There are fears, however, that the proposed overhaul, if adopted into law, will affect many immigrants, including more than 3 million Zimbabweans who are living in the neighboring country. Please stay tuned as we take a brief break.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We are also live on YouTube, VOA Zimbabwe. Today we are discussing the approval for implementation of the White Paper on Citizenship, Immigration and Refugee Protection by the South African Cabinet and how this will affect Zimbabweans living and working in the neighboring country. Joining us right now to discuss the topic is Mr. Edward Muchatuta, who is the Zimbabwe Exemption Permits Coordinating Committee National Coordinator, Dr. Vusumuzi Siwanda, who is the chairperson of the African Diaspora Forum and African Diaspora Global Network, and Mr. Velimpini Ndlovu, who is a legal advisor. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Thank you, and welcome to you and your listeners.
Thank you so much. Let's start with you, Dr. Siwanda. We have heard what this white paper seeks to achieve. How will this affect immigrants in South Africa?
Well, look, the ambition of this particular, you know, white paper, and of course, as we know that white papers, the number of white papers have come and gone, and sometimes it is policy, it is the intentions of the governing party in terms of how they want to govern affairs. But the implications, ideally, are what is contained, especially in as far as the asylum, the Refugee Act. Because the Refugees Act, if it is indeed, you know, then changed, which is what the department seeks to do, basically to renege or now to unratify the United Nations Convention of 1951. What that means ideally then is that people are not able to seek asylum in South Africa, and that affects a lot of Zimbabweans that are in South Africa that are using asylum seeker, you know, documents, and those that still feel that they want to apply for asylum or in the process who will then not have a legal status and might not be able to work and provide for their families, you know, from different other parts of the continent, not only from Zimbabwe, who now will be unemployable, will not be able to have, you know, banking accounts and transact in any way. That is where the greatest fear is. Insofar as the Citizenship Act is concerned, we know, and the Immigration Act, that there has been underlying desires to change, for example, you know, different types of permits and visas that are in South Africa, which has already happened in some areas like the issue of the critical skills visas now. So what we are basically looking at is a situation now where there is a desire, as we have heard from the minister, to change other visas, like, you know, your relative spousal visas. And the whole idea is to try and deprive people who are lawfully qualified to become either permanent residents and citizens, you know, because the country, I mean, the minister simply wants to make sure that he uses the Immigration Act as a gatekeeping process to keep people out of South Africa because, unfortunately, he is one who is a right-wing extremist.
Thank you so much. Please do stay on the line, Dr. Siwanda. Now to you, Mr. Muchatuta. Tunaona kuti zvizvaro zveZimbabwe zvakawanda zvinonzi zvinodarika mamiriyoni matatu zviri muSouth Africa. Vakawanda vaivawo vanhu ivavo vanhu vasina magwaro vasiri pasi peZimbabwe exemption permits zvichireva kuti they are in that country zviri illegal. Mutemo iwoyu hauzovabatsirawo here kuti vange vachiwanawo magwaro ekunge vachigara muSouth Africa?
Vadonga mutemo uyu hauna zvizhinji zvaunobatsira pakuwaniswa magwaro kwevanhu zvizvarwa zveZimbabwe zvikuru nekuti isusu maseti holders hatizi mafamilies edu tine vanhu futi vasina maseti permit. Gwaro iri rinongori gwaro raiitwa mushure mekunge vakoniwa kuti vawane chabuda panhau yekusarinyiwa maseti permit nekuedzwa kwakaita nyaya kumagare edzimosva. Vanhu vemusouth Africa vari kukombena nemamigrants ari musouth Africa, vanhu vari musouth Africa pari zvino, asi gwaro iri harina zvizhinji zvarinotaura pavanhu vari musouth Africa. Vanhu vari musouth Africa, mavoters emusouth Africa ari kutaura kuti South African government muchaitei nevanhu vasina magwaro. Asi mungateedza gwaro iroro haritauri nevanhu vasina magwaro. Zvizvarwa zvizhinji zvemuZimbabwe zvemusouth Africa zvisina magwaro hazvina zvidzidzo zvinodiwa nemagwaro iwayo. Sekuona kwedu muSouth Africa mune mitemo yakakwana yekuti vadzivirire kuuya kunoita vanhu vanobva kunze kwenyika, asi tiri kudiwa chete kuonekwa kuti vari kudyaa ngati pachirungu implementation yezvinodiwa nemitemo iyoyo, tichienda wanoti wekota unoa kuti kana kavani ichitora vanhu vekunze kwenyika inofanirwa kuvatora vakawanda zvakadii zvichiverengerwa nezvizvarwa zvemusouth Africa. Gwaro iri dai riri kutaura nezvekuti vanhu vasina mapepa vari musouth Africa vachaitwa sei, uye nevanhu vari kuda kuuya iye yatingati kutsvaga kuti pogadzirwa sei on push and pull factors yemigration zvinokodzera zvichienderana futi nekodzero yevanhu nevekodzero like kodzero yeungochani inove kodzero chete like kumaZimbabweni inopa kuti vanhu veopposition navamavhaza vawirirane, asi ikodzero yekuti iyoyo yakatokosha nekuti vanhu vagara musouth Africa vakawanda maZimbabweni mamwe akuita ungochani. Saka vanhu ivavo kodzero iyoyo inofanira kunge ichiitwa pamberi kuti vanhu ivavo vacharamba vachiuya. Vamwe tine vana vari kudzidza muno musouth Africa vagara vakawanda vari kuda mapepa zvichienderana futi nemaid emusouth Africa. Pane vavo emuZimbabwe vane vavo havana mapepa iwayo, asi minista haana kana zvaari kutaura nezvevanhu vari musouth Africa.
Thank you so much. Please do stay on the line, Mr. Muchatuta. And now to Mr. Ndlovu. Mr. Ndlovu, the white paper proposes that the government review and or withdraw from the 1951 Convention and the 1967 Protocol with a view to accede to them with reservations. What is this proposing? Can we see South Africa pulling out of these conventions, or is it just a threat because it feels overwhelmed by immigrants, the influx of immigrants?
Yeah, it's just another reactionary way of dealing with things, because actually withdrawing from the United Nations Convention on Refugees would be a step back for South Africa, because South Africa's constitution And South African's laws are known to be the most one of the most progressive in Africa. So they, most of the things that they're trying to do are in line with the sentiment that we actually had, where they tried to scapegoat immigrants because they are failing to solve whatever problems they are facing. They are now saying that the problems that they have or that they face are caused by immigrants. Because South Africa is a country that exists with other countries. In as much as this, their situation is okay now, it was not always okay before. Like before 1994, South Africans were also refugees in other countries. So that decision is just reactionary, and I don't think if taken on review in the Constitutional Court, it will pass that. That is actually constitutional and it's valid. It's Thanks. Like if they do want to withdraw from that, and the Helen Suzman Foundation or other concerned groups actually take the South African government to court, they are likely to lose, like they're always losing.
Thank
because
you.
That is not the spirit of the South African constitution.
Thank you so much. Dr. Swanda, South Africa is headed for elections end of next month, that's end of May, on the 29th of May to be precise. Can we say this is an election campaign gimmick by the South African government, or it is serious with this? Because many organizations are rejecting this.
Well, indeed that element that this is an electioneering, you know, campaign, and not only, I mean, it has been coming since South Africa, you know, the voting patterns okay. had changed in 2015, 2016.
Thank you.
The local government
Dr. Swanda, sorry to disrupt you. Let me bring in a caller, then I'll come back to you. Sorry for that. Hello, Mtereri.
Okay.
Hai watakasimba tisakudyirai nguva pindai tinzwe muchirongwa.
Hai ndora zvinhu
zvese. Taita dambudziko nofunga nhare yamukoma gumisa inenge yabva yangodimuka. Dr. Swanda, may you continue while we try to reconnect with the caller.
Okay, thank you. So what I'm saying is that there has been a change, a trajectory where there is a certain sect of the ANC that is trying to capture the vote in the category of those people that are right-wing extremists. So in order to please them, we have seen that the Minister of Home Affairs, who from 2016 was the Minister of Health, and we know ever since that time that he has only been a very xenophobic person, a right-wing extremist. He has come into the Department of Home Affairs, and his views have always been to try and exclude and use the Immigration Act as a gatekeeping mechanism to stop people from entering South Africa. So yes, indeed, there is that, and the ANC is relatively relieved because it believes that it is going to please such fringe groups as the Operation, you know, the Dula, the Put South Africa First people, which actually forms part of that small niche of people that are interested in fighting, you know, migrants. So in the general now, it is no longer just an issue of electioneering in the sense that there is a sect in the ANC that believes that the right-wing extreme approach is going to save them from losing voters in South Africa, because they also want to believe, and they believe the lie, that crime in South Africa is perpetuated mainly by migrants or foreign people, which we know it is not true, because we have heard the Minister of Police coming in and saying 90% of people in prison are foreigners. And yet, when we give the real figures, it only shows the percentage less than even 10%. So there are people that are believing the lie, that have taken it hook, line, and sinker. And then, you know, there are those that ideally are simply saying we want to use it to capture, you know, that niche. But the success of that particular, you know, of the policy, if it is turned into a bill, will have to be seen by cabinet, which we think it might not really succeed, because a lot of MPs are not likely to vote for that, because a lot, even you know, DA, which was also speaking about, you know, that in about 2015, they have changed to show that they are only talking about the porousness of the border, and those people that are in the country without documentation, that they should be documented, and those not documented should not be in the country. So you can see that there are reasonable protocols that are being asked to put in place by those that are in the opposition, except for small groups like Duduma that are operating like the ANC, which is the restricting policy now.
Thank you so much, Dr. Swanda. Please do stay on the line. Tinem Tereri Parunare, hello? Hello?
Hello, Magasimba.
Dagasimba Magadi, Baba.
Dagasimba Magadi.
Dagasimba, dear now.
Tara and a laugh, Mama Tara.
Do you know my seconds? Any Tower 18s, Gamuns, you
quit? Okay, Andrew Dagtaura, I come for a Pema foreigner to the Kura matrimony come in South Africa.
Eh?
Nemuche Momucha or Kugadira. Mutemo Yokaomera, if you catch the Sarah's in Zimbabwe, Kunyanya, that because the Sarah's is a Kunitimanika. From South Africa.
Say Murugudaro.
I'm a Taran, so foreign, I'm not. Yeah.
Say Murugudaro.
South Africa, Chimirochiri Moses, I'm in a Panotaran, so put him foreign. Kashinji Pastro Kato Bunda, and I declare that was that foreigners, no one to find that in foreigners, no Aku Muni, and the Kushin Bath. Takatukar Kotika Futaka Siana Nation, Miss Sharwa, Sukuni Jimenica, Nika Nevan in society, Mr. Dos, when I work with Takasiana Nation, Miss Sharwa,
thank you.
I will. To
not attend as Kurum
Koma.
Nguwa ndo ya kujigana transkwa kuti muri kuchema na kuti zvaka omera imi. Regaiti pinze tinzwe kune va muchatuta Mr. Muchatuta. The Helen Suzman Foundation and other organizations that are representing foreigners in South Africa or immigrants in South Africa are rejecting the white paper and are calling on parliament not to adopt the white paper and make it into law. Do you see this happening?
Yes, even ourselves as the civil organization, especially representing migrants in South Africa, we are also embarking on other programs whereby we are trying to engage especially political parties like DA and EFF who support, who are in solidarity with our cause. So that maybe they can push in parliament and so that they can help us in rejecting this bill in parliament. We are also even engaging the local people on the ground, trying to show them the effects of them supporting this bill.
Because thank you.
According to us,
Mr. Mchatuta. Sorry, time is running out. I wanted to give Mr. Ndlovu the last chance to speak. Mr. Ndlovu, is it not the duty of the South African government to protect its country from foreigners who are illegally entering into South Africa?
Yes, that's the duty of the South African government to do that. But in doing that, they should not actually go against the international norms. Like if someone is fleeing their country of origin and they are a refugee or they feel that they are being persecuted wherever they are coming from, they've got the right to enter South Africa even in a manner which is illegal. Because I actually don't like this thing of saying a person is illegal. I like to say a person is undocumented because a person can actually find some form of documentation.
Thank you so much, Mr. Glove. Thank you so much. I'm sorry, time is running out. And at this stage, we have to say thank you to our guest, Mr. Edward Muchatuta, who is the Zimbabwe Exemption Permits Coordinating Committee National Coordinator, Dr. Vusumuzi Suwanda, Chairperson of the African Diaspora Forum, and Mr. Velempini Ndlovu, who is a legal advisor. Last but not least, you, the listeners, we have come to the end of our show today. Let's meet again next time. This is Jonga Kandemiri signing off in Washington, D.C.